Welcome to Distrust and Disparities, Dismantling Black Health Disparities podcast. We examine health disparities that disproportionately affect Black women and Black families. In addition, we amplify organizations and individuals working to dismantle racist health practices and systems to improve health outcomes for marginalized communities. I'm your host, Jasmine Moore, a registered nurse, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Camille White. For a new generation of movement organizers and co-strugglers, Black Women Taught Us serves as a reminder that Black women were the first ones to teach us how to fight racism and how to name that fight and how to imagine a more just world for everyone.
In this episode, Jasmine discusses finding inspiration and motivation from books written by and for Black women, and we highlight the Free Black Women's Library, a community library that centers Black women and Black non-binary writers through a variety of free events, workshops, and public programs.
Welcome back to another episode of Distrust and Disparities podcast. We are happy to have you back and listening to another episode. Once again, March is Women's History Month, and we are hella proud to be Black women, and we're proud to have this opportunity to use our platform to learn about other Black women, past and present, and also we get to talk about the fears and challenges that Black women face every day, specifically when it comes to health issues. And most importantly, we get to elevate Black women and Black women-led organizations that are working hard to fight for health equity and justice. And we get to do this every month, not just during Women's History Month, not just during Black History Month. Every first and third Friday, we release episodes. And I just want to say the last two episodes were really heavy. I know for both of us, because I'm doing like the research and just constantly reading the information, and Camille has to edit the information. So listening to it over and over. So it's just really hard. And the two episodes that we were discussing was the death of Dr. Antoinette Claudia Bailey and the prosecution of Brittany Watts. And I know with Dr. Bailey, you know, I'm following the story. I hope she gets the justice that she deserves from Lincoln University, and also that they hold the president and the board accountable. And I also hope that everyone listening to that episode will have the courage to walk away from jobs or situations that do not value them and that tear you down mentally. And it can be extremely difficult to walk away, but it's even harder to stay in those situations. So I just hope you do what's best. You know, I've been there and it's hard, but it's not worth your life or your time. And also, if you are in a supervisory position and an employee brings you these accusations, please take them seriously. Please get to the root of this issue, because this could be the source, you know, of high turnover at your job, just, you know, so many problems. But by ignoring this, nothing can happen. And if you're the one causing trauma or harm at your job, or, you know, judging other people, you know, please just stop and get a life. Like, if that's you, you know, just making judgmental, hurtful comments, being clicky, like, it's not worth it. Like, please stop. But just got to put that out there. And then with Brittany Watts' case, it just shows how hospitals yet again prioritize profits over patients. And it's just so frustrating that in 2024, we are fighting for the same rights that we fought for decades ago. And history is just repeating itself in the worst way possible. I'm just like, we're fighting for, you know, access to reproductive rights. And then in the news, you see the diversity, equity positions, more and more, they're cutting this, they're banning books. I'm like, this is what we're doing. We have all this technology, all this advancements, and this is what we choose to do. Like, it's just frustrating. That's just how I feel.
No, it is. It can feel so defeating, and like you felt like, you know, there are moments where if you're truly paying attention to what's going on, it's like, yeah, we've come far. We've made some things happen, but then like now those things are being taken away. And it's, you know, people who have been on the front lines for marginalized communities for years have been saying that, you know, mm-hmm. this was their intention all along, and they have been playing the long game, and they have, and they are winning battles. And we need to look at it and understand that, like, you, even as disheartening as it is, like, we need to continue to fight for ourselves, for our communities, because if we don't, they will win. And you know, these are important things that we need to protect. We need to protect our rights. These are rights, and we need to protect them. And we need to listen to the voices of people who are organizing and making moves and demonstrations and efforts to, you know, vote in the right people who will protect our reproductive rights, our human rights, just things that I think, unfortunately, we took for granted. And now, like, some of us don't have access to, and it's leading to significant harm and death in certain situations.
Like you said, I was just feeling dejected and tired and almost hopeless, but that's what people want you to feel, like there's nothing you can do, like we just have to accept what is happening. But I think ultimately this should be a wake-up call for all of us, like, you know, this is what's happening. Now we need to make sure that we secure and solidify our rights. And now is the time to speak up, no matter, you know, how big or no matter how small, like your actions matter. And, you know, just start with, you know, yourself. It could start with like educating yourself. It could be reading, you know, buying banned books and starting from there. It could be supporting organizations that are doing the work, sharing posts, giving donations. So every little bit counts. And, you know, people, what do they say? Something about the quote, something makes the loudest noise or something. Like, this is just a lot of distractions. They're trying to, you know, amp up this stuff. Like, oh, we banned this. But people are organizing all around the world. So that's why we created this podcast, to uplift organizations and individuals who are doing the work to push back. And I'll admit, like, 2 months into the new year, and I felt like I was on the fast track to burnout. And, you know, we're working full-time jobs and also trying to produce a podcast. We're also trying to market a podcast, you know, look for sponsorships. We're trying to do all the things, you know, while also, you know, meal prepping, hydrating, get enough sleep. And then, you know, life throws in those curveballs. You know, we're trying to manage through all of those. And, you know, I just was like, hold up, I need to take a break. I need to take a step back. I need a mental break. And a lot of the times the topics that we are discussing, they're very heavy. And it's like, you know, I want to push through and do the next episode, but it's like, I really need, you know, time to decompress, get like this frustration off, because it's a lot. Like, sometimes if you just sit and simmer about these things, like, I'll just be mad. And it's just like, I gotta figure out a way to like let these things go. I don't know. Do you feel the same way?
I feel the same exact way. And like through the podcast, and then like, you'll come up with like, okay, this is a topic I want to discuss, and you'll pull together all the research. And then it's like reading through your outline, and I'm just like, I'm pissed right now. Right. And then like, we'll record the episode, and then like, I stay pissed maybe the rest of that day. And then it's like, okay, I go to edit it. And then I'm like listening back to it. And it's like, oh, I'm pissed again. Like, and we need those times to then be able to go, okay, we put it out there. Hopefully, you know, the organization or whatever recommendation that was given on that episode can help others. And then take time to sort of recenter and be able to just take a deep breath. Because, like, exactly. If you're constantly sitting in that feeling, it can feel so defeating. And like you said, you're just, like, burnt out and tired and dejected. And it's just like, what is it all for? And it's like, we have a purpose and we have a goal and like, we're continuing to work towards that. But it's like being mindful of needing to take the time because like the topics can be very draining and very heavy mm-hmm. and just, you know, and it's nice too that we can be here for one another, but it's just like, oh girl, these topics.
Yeah. And also just have to remind ourselves, this is our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want. You know, if we need to take a break and we need to come over here and tell y'all, you know, this is a lot. Like, this is what we have to do in order mm-hmm. to keep doing this work, you know. We would love to be NPR. We would love to have a team and all this, but it's just us. And, you know, sometimes, like, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're human. And if it got to the point where I'm just able to type and just on to the next one without feeling anything, that's not, you know, normal. Like, no. You know, I want to be able to process these emotions, feel the anger, feel the grief, the rage, and then also feel inspired, hopeful by, you know, the organization that's doing the work. So human, just like everyone else. And in this week's episode, I want to, you know, just talk about my mental break. Or that sounds crazy. My mental break, like I was like a mental breakdown.
Not a breakdown. You took a mental rest. You took a mental rest.
Yeah, not like they say on TikToks. I didn't take a grippy sock vacation. You know? You get it. Not one of those mental breaks. I just took some time just to rest, like Camille said, just to feel these emotions and kind of just sit with it. And also in the midst of that break, I took time to do some of the things that I enjoyed. Like, I really enjoy reading. I really enjoy being around other Black women. So last month, I went to two book events that were hosted by the Free Black Women's Library in Brooklyn, New York. And I had signed up to attend the first event on Saturday, like weeks prior, but I was like, oh, I still wasn't sure if I was going to go because I had to, you know, I wanted to make some social media content, also needed to finish up, you know, outlining the next episode and some research. So I was still on the fence, but in the midst of putting together the outline for the last episode, Brittany Watts, I was like, I really need to take a break. This is a lot. Like, I've had been researching like abortion laws, miscarriage statistics. And I was like, this is a lot. Like, I know going from the Bronx to Brooklyn, that's a trek. It's a trek by car and it's a trek by train. Either way you go. But I was like, I need a break. I need to get out. And I'm so glad I went because I left the event feeling so inspired and just motivated. It was like, this is what I need. I need a life outside of the podcast. You know, it's a way to like really refill my tank and, you know, just give me that burst of energy to keep doing what I'm doing. And the first event was a book signing and discussion with Dr. Jen Jackson, PhD. And she recently published the book, Black Women Taught Us, An Intimate History of Black Feminism. And going into the event, I didn't know about the book or the author, but I was just drawn to the title, just Black Women Taught Us. And Dr. Jen Jackson was being interviewed by author and teacher Brittany Cooper, who is also the author of Eloquent Rage. And these are two leading Black women in their fields of Black feminism. But the conversation felt very fun and down to earth. Like I said, they are scholars. They have PhD. They know this work from front to back. But it was almost like just me and you having a conversation back to back, like two homegirls just talking mm-hmm. about their expertise and like also like their research. Like, it was very digestible, whether you didn't know anything about the book or whether you are a scholar. It was, you know, everybody in that room was able to relate to, you know, the conversation, the dialogue. It was just like, you know, you're just chatting with your homegirl, but we're talking about, you know, doing the work, talking about Black feminism, you know, how do we get free? You know, it's just very real. And Dr. Jen, she talked about her childhood and also how the women in her life, they kind of inspired her and the work that she's going. And she talked about a situation where she was working in corporate America, where she cried almost every day. She was the only Black woman at this job, and she faced constant microaggressions. And just to make long story short, she asked her mom about what books did she read from like Black women? Like she was looking for inspiration, just some hope in this situation. And her mom sent her to the bookstore to look for books written by Black authors, Black female authors, specifically Toni Morrison, Alice Walker, Terry McMillan, etc. And the first book she stumbled upon in this bookstore was Sister Citizen, written by Melissa Harris Perry. And she talks about how this book just inspired her because it talks about the struggles that Black women go through here in America. And she read that book, and then she also went to the bibliography and she read like all the books that she used to write this book. And she just got so inspired, and it inspired her to go back to school to study political science. And then she's a professor and she's teaching like Black feminist work. And every day she gets to learn from different Black authors and writers just about this work. And she basically said, the women that came before us, you know, they gave us like the tools, the guide to kind of fight this struggle. And like I mentioned before, how we're fighting for basically equal rights, reproductive rights, things like abortion, equal pay, like voting rights. They're chipping away at our voting rights. Like we need to go back to women, you know, Black writers and things like that, because they were doing the same thing outside of, you know, just writing books. They're also leading the struggle for liberation. And I'll read some of the chapters from the book because I like how they're titled, and pull up the cover so you guys know. I feel like an influencer. Look at the book. You can break up. I forgot we also record video, so we might put this video. But chapter one, it says, Harriet Jacobs taught me about freedom. Chapter two, Ida B. Wells taught me radical truth telling. Chapter five, Fannie Lou Hamer taught me to be unrespectable. Chapter six, Shirley Chisholm taught me to hold whiteness accountable. Just various chapters dedicated to people such as Zora Neale Hurston, Audre Lorde, Ella Baker, like I said, Harriet Jacobs, just various Black women's and the various things that she learned through like Black feminism. And one thing I bring up during the discussion that really stuck with me, she talked about this idea of like Black girl magic, like how this phrase has become so big and so popular. And just this idea that, you know, what we as Black women, Black girls, what we do in every day, how we survive and do all the things that we do, you know, work, take care of others. Also, we're out there on the front lines protesting and advocating. It makes it look like magic. They're like, oh, this is magical. Like the term like Black superwoman, like the superwoman trope is just thrown around. But it's like, you know, this is not magic. You know, at the end of the day, we get tired, we get down, or we're doing all this things for other people and they just think, oh, they got it, they do it, they're fighting for us, but they're not helping at the end of the day. And you know, that's just what I took away from that, the whole phrase of like Black girl magic, like how it's just been used and spread, like, oh, what we do is magic. But no, it's like they don't see the day to day, the hard work, the grind, the sweat and tears that goes in. And you know, we still put up this front that, you know, we have it all together. And like, we're starting to see more and more, like some people are either like walking away from these high profile positions, or unfortunately, we're seeing the deaths of individuals like Dr. Antoinette Claudia Bailey, who we talked about, and also the Miss America, the Black woman who died as well. Like we're seeing like an increase in suicide and also just an increase of, you know, people just walking away from these positions because, you know, they see how they are treated when they get there.
And I feel like we've discussed too the negative of Black girl magic, where I get wanting to celebrate moments that we should be celebrating that are joyful, but when it's thrown around and used so much, it then completely sort of removes our actual humanity and makes us into like these supernatural beings that can like just go on forever, like, you know, a damn Energizer bunny, where like we have an infinite amount of, you know, resources and energy to do and tackle and care for everything and everyone. And like all of this happening while also being like unsupported and like the most disrespected demographic in the entire country, when it's just like, that's not the case. And it can be detrimental when you are viewed in this sort of like pedestal like way of like, oh, you're just magical. And it's just like, I'm a real person with real struggles. Let me just be regular, degular, normal. Like, I don't have to be magical. Please don't only view me as being magical and therefore then you want to focus on me and pay attention and maybe care about me. Care about the regular, degular people as well. Like, they deserve love and appreciation and care too.
Exactly. And something else that stuck with me from this discussion with Dr. Jen, it was a young Black woman in the audience. She asked her question. I'm kind of going to summarize it. She says, with everything that's going on in the world and just with the constant struggle, she said, it feels like Black women are just surviving. And Dr. Jen, she responded with, I want you to change the word surviving to living on your own terms. And she basically said, you know, each step that we take to, you know, break generational traumas, to combat racism, we're taking revolutionary actions and, you know, we're creating our own paths. And it's like, no matter how big or small, you know, choosing to want better for ourselves or to do things differently is just very revolutionary. And I just like how she said, just change surviving to living on our own terms. And, you know, that's really what I feel like we're doing, especially with this podcast, just with the things that we're choosing to do, choosing to look for jobs and positions that align with what we want. Choosing to help others, to look back, to give back, it really makes a difference. You know, choosing, you know, just because your grandmother, your mother, they did certain things, like your family do this, recognizing like, you know, we don't have to do this. We can do something else. And just to confront those, you know, is really revolutionary. So I really like how she said that.
Because I think a lot of times too, I think in terms of, say, even like racism in our institutions and the very fabric of like how this country was created, people can view that and go, when someone goes, oh, something is just this way because it's tradition, you can see the problems inherently. And okay, just because it's always been done doesn't mean it needs to continue to be done. But I think it can be harder for people to then take that mindset and view that on your family of like, just because your family's always done something doesn't mean that you need to continue doing it, because is it really beneficial? Is it really helpful? Or is there a lot of stuff wrapped up in that, that like, it's going to be hard to unpack it and really look at it, but like, you can be one of the first people to sort of make that step and go, you know what? Tackle things a little bit differently, and that's okay. And know that like, you're doing it differently, and in the end you would maybe be helping other family members also look at things differently and go, you got a point here, maybe I could start looking into some things too.
Exactly. And it could be as simple as like, say you could be like, oh, you could be doing this X, Y, and Z position because it makes a lot of money. But if you're making a lot of money and it just doesn't feel right, or the job is just tearing you down and you choose to walk away, you do something else where you may not be making as much money, but it aligns with you, it uplifts you, and it fuels you. And people may be looking like, you know, why are you doing this? But you're choosing what is right for you, what works, you know, and knowing that you'll be fine with that. So that act in itself is revolutionary. Us making this podcast, just speaking up and just talking about these things is revolutionary. Like, imagine like people listening to this like years later, like, oh, remember this? Oh, they were talking about this. So it's just like, oh, wow, you know, choosing to have these conversations, to record ourselves, to document this, you know, is truly revolutionary when you think about it.
Yes. When you put it out there like that, choosing to record ourselves, document it, and put it out there. The way that it, like, it's the specific way that you're like, y'all are really going, let's record your thoughts and opinions into a mic and then let the whole world hear. It's like, ooh, that is revolutionary because.
Right. Right. It's scary. Like, it anybody is. Could listen to this and say this, right? But it's revolutionary.
Here we are.
Right. And I just want to read just some quotes from the book. And as you can see, I'm like just a couple chapters in and I'm like bookmarking things and tabbing things. But I really like this. So she describes this book as a love letter to those who have been minimized and forgotten. This collection repositions Black women's intellectual and political work at the center of today's liberation movement. And she said, for a new generation of movement organizers and co-strugglers, Black women taught us serves as a reminder that Black women were the first ones to teach us how to fight racism and how to name that fight and how to imagine a more just world for everyone. I just want to read one more quote. Y'all think about this. Y'all can pause it too. Because I had to highlight that too. And I just want to read one more thing that I highlighted. And it says, listening to Black women requires that we center, engage with, and become challenged by the parts of their teachings and lessons that uproot us the most. In this book, I focus on those voices that are too often overlooked, imagined away, watered down, and simply ignored by white people, institutions, and the authority of the state. I write each essay as a love letter to the woman who led me back to myself, the woman who built our movements and taught us how to love ourselves whole. Black women taught us how to listen and work. It's time we do both.
Have you checked out our website? There you can find all of our episodes and show notes. You can even listen directly on the site and catch up on any previous episode you may have missed. You can read our bios and see what we're up to. Also, we made it even easier to contact us. Just fill out the form on our homepage and click submit. We invite you to recommend guests and topics we should feature. So what are you waiting for? Go check us out at distrustanddisparities.com.
And you know what? After going to that book event, like I was like really excited, really motivated. And so that event with Dr. Jen Jackson was on Saturday, and the Free Black Women's Library, she was having another event on Sunday. So I was like, do I want to trek to Brooklyn again? And I was like, let me think about it. But then for this event, they were like, you get a free book when you come. So I was like, oh, this is sounding like really, really tempting. So I was like, okay, let me do it. So I decided to go to the second book event on Sunday. I was like, you know what? They're giving away a free book. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, the last book discussion. So why not? Like, you know, at least I walk away with a free book. You know, that's what I was thinking. And this book event, it was a discussion by the author Ebony Janice, and she wrote the book All the Black Girls Are Activists, and she was being interviewed by the poet Roya Marsh, who is also, you know, from the Bronx. So I was like, okay, she coming out from the Bronx too, you know, whatever. Like, I'll go too. I'm trekking from the Bronx too, you know, whatever. And, you know, just like Dr. Jen, she talked about her childhood and, you know, just growing up, you know, in like a Christian household. But she also talked about her spirituality and also just like her sexuality and also her sexual desires. And, you know, as a Black woman, you don't have to be boxed in. And one of the things that she said that really stuck with me, she said, is you want to have a fast no and a slow yes. Basically, you know, take your time when you're saying yes to things and commitments. And you can always, if you say no in the beginning, it's very easy to change that no to a yes. Versus if you say yes to things, it's very hard to change it into a no. And you're probably thinking, like, I know this, but how many times have you made commitments or said yes to things when you know you don't have the time or the energy? So lean into it. Say no. Think about it. It's no rush to say yes, to give yourself away. And both Ebony Janice and Dr. Jenna Jackson, you know, they also talked about the importance of rest when we're doing this work. And, you know, they lean on other people before us who have done this work, who have given so much. Audre Lorde, bell hooks, Alice Walker, you know, they give so much. And, you know, a lot of times different, you know, Black authors and things like that, they didn't get the recognition in their time, but we're recognizing them now. Some of them died poor, disabled, sick, but they were also doing that work. But I know Ebony Janice, she was talking about with our generation of feminism, we are looking at things, we're prioritizing things like rest, like the author of the book, Rest is Resistance, that whole movement, like us taking the time to prioritize ourselves, our healing, our well-being, our rest, that in itself is revolutionary. Because she brought up the things, how many times like you're over like your parents' house or somebody else and they're like, oh, what you doing? You just sitting down, you not doing nothing. You like, oh, you sleeping? Or the times you growing up and your parents are like, you ain't doing nothing. You got stuff to do. It's like, can we get a moment to rest? Like, there's nothing wrong with sitting down, doing nothing. You know, we need those like rejuvenating, healing our bodies. We'd be so caught up in, you know, just trying to get ahead, make a better life for ourselves. But are we killing ourselves in the process? So it's really important that we rest. We talk about it a lot here, but it's really needed in order to make this work sustainable in the long run. Like, we have to rest. We have to prioritize ourselves. And, you know, I'm guilty. I'm like, okay, I need to rest. And then next thing is like, next thing I need to do, need to put up social media. People want videos. They want TikToks. They want reels. They want all the things. But it's like, girl, let's just get this episode out on time. Like, whatever. Let's tell people that the episode is out. That's enough. That is enough. Maybe one day we'll be able to do all the things, but right now, this is our contribution and I'm fine with it. Every episode that we put out, I'm happy with it. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, even then I'm like, did I talk too much? Did I go down the rabbit hole? You know, should I have reeled it back? But I'm happy with what I put out, what I said. Or I'm like, oh, I should have talked about the organization more. Like, I wish, like, should we do like a separate episode so we could just talk an hour about the organization? But at the end of the day, I'm happy with what I put out. And, you know, I have to make time to do things that I need for myself. So just want to highlight that. And then another thing from this book event, Ebony Janice, when she was releasing her book, you know, she asked for money from, I guess, you know, the booksellers and things like that, because she wanted to also be able to support other Black authors that are putting out books. Because she's like, you know, I'm getting a lot of, you know, support and acknowledgement for the book, but I also want to uplift other authors. I don't want to just be the only one on the bestsellers list. So she created a campaign when her book came out, All the Black Girls Are Activists. So she created a campaign called All the Black Girls Are Bestsellers. So she uplifted 10 other books, and she bought these books so that she can give them out for free to nonprofit organizations, HBCUs, and educational organizations. So through this campaign, 50,000 books written by 10 Black femme authors have been provided to over 170 nonprofit organizations, about 6,000 avid readers, 20 HBCUs, educational organizations, and more. And me going to the book event, I was able to get a copy of her book. In doing this, she was able to help these authors like sell enough books so that they could be on the Times bestsellers list. But she was also saying the Times list is, you know, racist, and these are, you know, these structural organizations, and they have this measurement. So they still make it difficult for, you know, Black women and Black femme authors to get the recognition. But if you go to her website, or we'll put everything in the show notes, All the Black Girls Are Bestsellers campaign, or Ebony Janice website, you can find the reading list so you can still go and support these other authors. And like I was saying, your cousin's book, Healing Justice Lineages, that was one of the 10 books that she was supporting through that. And I was like, oh, look, I was like, yep, good. Mm-hmm. I already got that. And then just looking through like the other books down there. But I think that's so amazing, like using your platform, your campaign to uplift and shine light on others. Like, you know, that's what I feel like these two authors are doing. They're using their platform to, you know, look at what our ancestors did, or, you know, and also sharing other authors in the process. And I just think that is so amazing. And I like how her chapters are laid out. So the title of the book, the full title of the book, is called All the Black Girls Are Activists, A Fourth Wave Womenist Pursuit of Dreams and Radical Resistance. And she said each chapter is kind of laid out almost like an affirmation. So it says, in pursuit of dreaming, in pursuit of loudness, in pursuit of softness, in pursuit of my body, in pursuit of unashamedness, in pursuit of wellness. So, like I said, I have so many books. I just got these two. And each year for Christmas, I buy myself like a stack of books. So I'm like still diving into the book, but I'm like excited to read and just take it in. I could just see myself when I need something, I can go to the book, like in pursuit of softness, you know, when I feel like I'm getting, you know, very hard, in pursuit of my ancestors, in pursuit of dreaming. So I'm excited to dive into this book. And like I said, each of these women, they took the time. It was, the room was packed, and they took time to sign copies of these books and take pictures and also to answer questions. Like, it was just amazing just to be in the room with so many Black women just coming to feel inspired. It was just a great feeling. I enjoyed it. But she signed it. She said, this is what Ebony Janice, she wrote in my book. She might have wrote in other people's book, but in my book she wrote, thank you for your journey to freedom, for you and for us. I just think that's just amazing. Because she talked about, you know, we're all on this journey to freedom, no matter what it is, like how we talked about just being revolutionary. We're just all trying to figure out how to get free and live lives on our own terms. And, you know, that's the process. You know, the freedom is in the process. And, you know, on this journey, we inspire others. Like me talking with you, working with you, you inspire me. Talking to like my other friends, just being in the room with other Black women, hearing about their hopes, their dreams, what they're doing, it just inspires me. So that was like the takeaway, is rest. We're all journeying to freedom. And we're also centering Black women, because, you know, too often it's like some other people's needs are centered or put first, or, you know, just as Black women, we want to take care of everyone. But, you know, at the end of the day, who is centering us in their politics and their needs? So we have to, you know, be unashamed to saying this is for Black women, you know, Black non-binary individuals. Like, this space is specifically carved out for us. What we're talking about is us. These are our issues. This is what's going on. So we have to put us first.
If you are enjoying this episode, you should consider buying us a coffee. Yes, a coffee. That small gesture will help us continue to create quality episodes and content. Click the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes or check out our website at distrustanddisparities.com.
I'm a segue into the organization. Like I mentioned earlier, the two book events were held at the Free Black Women's Library in Brooklyn. And this space was specifically created for Black women and Black femmes. And Ola Renouk, she's the founder of the Free Black Women's Library, and she started in 2015. And it started off as a mobile trading library and an interactive biblio installation of about 900 books featuring Black female authors or non-binary authors. And it started off as like a monthly pop-up, mostly in Brooklyn, as a way for, you know, Black women to get together and just come together and, you know, explore the literature written by Black female authors. And she says it was inspired by the Say Her Name movement. And Ola, she felt compelled to spotlight Black women in a way where they wouldn't be looked at as victims, but instead in a position of power. And she's quoted as saying, "I want to be a part of something where Black women are centered and where Black women are the focus, but it's not tragic and it's not pathological and it doesn't feel disempowering or discouraging. We can talk about us, Black women, as writers and artists and filmmakers and creatives and all these different things." And now the Free Black Women, it has expanded to have its own space in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And the library is part social art project that features a collection of over 5,000 books written by Black women and Black non-binary writers, a free store, a period pantry, a virtual reading club, a weekly book swap, and a wide array of workshops and free public programming. I found out about the library. I can't remember if I shared it or if Lori shared it with me, but Ola, she has a reading challenge and it's called the Free Black Women's Reading Challenge. And the goal is to read 25 books written by Black or non-binary authors. And since she has different categories, such as a romance novel, a book that centers on relationships between women, young adult fiction, a book written by Octavia Butler. So she gives you various prompts that you can use while completing the challenge. And it kind of like expands your mind to just think and try different works. And on her Instagram page, she posts different books based off these categories that you could check out. And like I said, it's more than just a library. She offers, like I said, free sanitary supplies. Also, she's collecting like clothing donations. Next time I go, I need to take some of my clothes that I should donate now that I know it's going to like a good cause. But it's just like a wide variety of things. And my favorite part about the library is if you bring in a book written by a Black woman or a non-binary writer, you can exchange that book for another book in the library. So I'm like, yay, you get to get more books. So that was nice. And just, it's very inspiring just to see, you know, a book, just a library just focused on Black women. Because it's like, when I go to the library, I'm like going to the African-American section first. But just to see books written by Black women, different things. Like you just get so inspired. And when I was there, I saw one book I exchanged was talking about in the Bronx. It was just talking about like environmental like segregation, because that's something I want to talk about on the podcast. And like how that, and gentrification and all that, and how it affects like health. And then there was another book that was titled like Black disability politics. And I was like, ooh, that is definitely something I want to cover. So it's just like, you just get so inspired just by the different works, the titles, lots of Octavia Butler, Afrofuturism, Audre Lorde, just so many books. And it's, you know, it's just, I think this is like a great project. And like, I've met Ola, she's like so sweet, so nice. She's always excited when you want to like exchange a book and things like that. And you know, I just enjoyed going to the library, and it really just helped me feel inspired and motivated. And I just wanted to come on and just share this organization. And we're going to give you the ways that you can support the organization, but look into the local Black-owned, like, bookstores, Black-owned spaces, tap into those events that they're having and just go there and support them. Like, this is just one example here in New York, and you can support. They also have, Ola, she also hosts free virtual events. So we'll give you the link to the Eventbrite, but look in your own state, own town, virtual, online. We just want to support these community spaces carved out specifically for us. And what I like most about the events, they're free. Like she was saying, she wants to raise money because she wants to keep these events free and affordable. And she has like interns and students that like work with her from the community, but she wants to keep everything free and in-house. So like I said, the ways to support, you can follow the Free Black Women's Library on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And also, like I said, check out the reading challenge. If you have like extra books, or if you, you know, want to donate, you can send those books. You can go to the website and she gives you the address where you can send books to support this library in the exchange of free books. And also, additionally, you can join the Patreon, and your donations, like I said, will help to keep the library open as this free space where you can not only get books, you can also co-work. There's a co-working space and everything there, but just to support and keep the books free. So please support, you know, go follow, because I really enjoyed this space and I'm excited to check out more books. And like I said, the title of this episode is Healing Through Literacy. So we want to make sure we're reading. We're also engaged in community, because it really, really makes a difference to give us like inspiration and hope in these times. So hope you enjoy this episode.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Do you have recommendations for topics we should discuss about health disparities or injustices? Guests we should interview doing amazing health justice work? Or organizations we should highlight creating positive change for marginalized communities? Please visit us at distrustanddisparities.com or email us at distrustanddisparities@gmail.com. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Thank you.